of the day is State versus John R. Leahy III. Justice Miller Lerman, as well as Justice Frydenberg, is recused from this matter. Judge Bishop of the Court of Appeals will also join the court in this case. So both Judge Bishop and Judge Welch from the Court of Appeals will be on this case. Good morning to you, Judge Bishop.
Good morning, thank you.
And with that, we will proceed. Mr. Calkins, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning. This case arose out of a Hitchcock County case. Initially was a first-degree murder, kidnapping, and possession of methamphetamine with intent to distribute within 1,000 feet of school. Ultimately, there was a plea agreement, and there was a conviction for manslaughter, the kidnapping with the allegation that the victim had been released unharmed, and the possession of methamphetamine without the allegation of being within 1,000 feet of a school. And the issues that are on appeal arose as we tried to work our way towards the sentencing. We had sentencing initially scheduled for August 10th of 2017. And during that time, Mr. Leahy was being held in Hitchcock County, which is where all the proceedings were. Everyone appeared for sentencing. And at that time, the state objected to the pre-sentence report because it had been the opinion of the probation office for the 11th district that Mr. Leahy was entitled to 533 days credit for time served. And they had made that, and that was, as on most of the pre-sentences, that was designated right on the front of the page. When the state objected, the court inquired as to whether or not there was an agreement on the state's position. There wasn't, and I think in really what happened that was out of the ordinary, certainly for anything that I have been involved in before, was the trial court said, well, before we can go to a sentencing, and I think even the language that we cited in the brief, they said, well, my feeling, counsel, is that I need to decide that issue before I do the sentencing, and how we go about this is, you know, either by way of testimony or getting information from Colorado. And at that point, the trial court then turned around and set that hearing for September 5th of 2017 and set a separate sentencing hearing for September 18th, 2017. It's our position that the court's intent at that point was clearly to set an evidentiary hearing.
An evidentiary hearing for what purpose?
For a determination of the appropriate amount of time served.
And so is it your contention that that's not part of the sentencing phase of the case?
In this instance, I don't believe it was. I think the court, in essence, the court made that decision by removing...
What phase of the case was it?
The
plea had already been entered, correct?
The plea had been entered, and it was part of the process, but the court did indicate that before I can do the sentencing, I have to make this determination.
Is that because the law would require the judge to announce on the record what good time credit was going to be given, and the evidence that the parties were bringing the judge was contested on that point?
What came up at the time of the initial sentencing was... It showed the 533 days. The state objected and gave a theory that it should be a different number. We did not agree with that number, and the trial court judge, Judge Erbaum, looked at it and said, well, I really can't do a sentencing today until we make that determination. And he said, we have to either have testimony, which I think is an implication of an evidentiary hearing, or documentation. And I think although it was part of the sentencing process or getting closer to the sentencing process, it was actually pulled out and was a separate evidentiary hearing to determine what was correct.
So if Exhibit 51 had been received at the sentencing hearing itself, then this argument would go away?
If the state would have presented something prior to that, if the state would have shown up at the initial sentencing or had included that as part of the pre-sentence, then it's much closer to what happens and the law applies, that the strict rules of evidence don't apply at a sentencing. Due to the fact that the court scheduled this hearing and called for evidence on this, the state then showed up with Exhibit 51, and the whole hearing just consisted of saying, here's Exhibit 51.
What is contained within Exhibit 51 that you contend the court relied upon to determine the amount of time served credit?
The issue, and that's one of the other, the second issue, but the issue arose because the court was looking at whether or not the court at sentencing was going to have to make a decision on whether the good time started when the sentence finished in Colorado or when he was actually moved to the state of Nebraska. And in order to do that, that was what was relied on to make that decision.
Is there any dispute that at the time Mr. Leahy was transferred to Nebraska, he was serving a Colorado sentence?
No.
Is there any dispute that he was not paroled from that Colorado sentence until August 28th, 2016?
There is no dispute as to the date that document showed as to parole. The dispute arose as that Mr. Leahy contended that if he had been returned to Colorado, it would have changed his parole date and he would have been paroled much earlier.
I understand the sort of counterfactual argument that if I had stayed in Colorado, things would have been different. My question is there any dispute that the parole date of August 28th, 2016 is correct?
As far as any information that was submitted, I think that is what's correct and shows on their records. I don't think it was an issue of, I think it was how they determined that date that was the issue rather than the date that they actually decided.
You don't contend that he was actually paroled earlier?
No. The documentation submitted would show August 10th.
Thank you.
At the evidentiary hearing, as I indicated, the state offered Exhibit 51. There was no one there to testify about the document. It was a document that's difficult to understand. There were certainly questions about that. There was the appropriate objection for foundation and hearsay. The court took it under advisement and ultimately ruled that Exhibit 51 was admitted. And as per your question, I think it was then used in determining the parole dates and any dates for credit for time served. And I would agree, the cases do apply, do indicate that the strict rules of evidence don't apply to sentencing documents, but this is a different situation than certainly I've ever seen before, with that being taken out and provided a separate hearing being called to decide a factual issue.
Was the hearing possibly just to give the parties an opportunity to bring the information to the judge so it could be included in the PSI?
The request was not to admit it, to make it part of the PSI. The request was to admit it into evidence.
Did you indicate that you had some information you wanted to provide the court on that issue?
We had not seen the document till that day, so we did not have access to that documentation from Colorado. And all of this then ties into the second part of the argument that Mr. Leahy was in Colorado. He made the request that his case be handled in Nebraska. On that basis, he was then transferred to the state of Nebraska and never went back. it wasn't a situation where he returned to Colorado, where anything took place. The state is alleging that he is getting, in essence, double credit for his Colorado sentence and his Nebraska sentence. But I think in this circumstance, the fact there was no intent to ever return Mr. Leahy to Colorado. I think from the time that he moved to the state of Nebraska, he was in the custody of the state of Nebraska.
How does any of that factor into the good time statute?
If he was in the custody of the state of Nebraska, it would be the 533 days. That's what the probation office came up with. And their determination was he'd been in the custody of the state of Nebraska and had 533 days credit. The state's position was you're taking away the time up until he was paroled in Colorado. And then that's what factors in, too, with the claim. His claim that things could have changed had he been returned to Colorado in between.
While he was sitting in jail on the detainer in Nebraska, was he earning credit on his sentence in another state?
From Exhibit 51, it appeared that he was.
And while he was in jail, he couldn't get out on bond. He wasn't bondable.
Not with those charges, no. He did not have access to any bond at that point. So, and then ultimately, and I guess on the, we've also, I would just ask the court to look at all of the requirements that are to be considered as a sentencing, and particularly the circumstances. As part of the pre-sentence, the defense submitted numerous depositions that outlined even the state's own witnesses, indicating that there were factors. For instance, the state's pathologist saying, you know, that if they did methamphetamine that day, he didn't die that night. And there didn't seem to be any question but that they did do methamphetamine. So we tried to present that there were other factors that Austin Wright had been picked up by someone else, and that Mr. Leahy should be sentenced for what his participation was and not the end result if someone else, in essence, continued those things. We would just ask the court to look at all of those circumstances and determine whether or not there was an abuse of discretion on the trial court in all of the sentencing as it was sentenced.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Marfisi, good morning to you.
May it please the court. My name is Sarah Marfisi, Assistant Attorney General representing the state of Nebraska. In this case, Leahy is seeking retroactive concurrence with an unrelated 3-year Colorado prison sentence that he was serving when the information was filed in this case, and which he completed before sentencing in this case. Article 5, subsection F of the Agreement on Detainers requires the sending state's sentence to continue to run while the prisoner is in the receiving state's temporary custody. So Leahy continued serving his Colorado sentence after he was transferred to Nebraska and until he was paroled by Colorado. In our brief, we rely on State versus McCleaney, an on-point Court of Appeals case, but I'd also like to direct this court's attention to State versus Hunnell, which is not in our brief, but is 290 NEB 1039. It's a 2015 case. In State versus Hunnell, this court analyzed the time served statute, section 83-1,106, and determined that a prisoner was not entitled to time served against his Nebraska sentence for pretrial time he spent completing a federal sentence. In Hunnell, this court held there's no provision under any subsection of 83-1,106 allowing credit for time spent serving a valid sentence under a valid conviction. What Hunnell really seeks is retroactive concurrency of valid sentences for separate crimes. We're unaware of any legal principle that would allow a court to order a sentence to run concurrently with a sentence for another conviction that has already been served. This case is the same situation. Until he was paroled in Colorado, Leahy was serving a valid sentence on a valid conviction. He was not entitled to time served under Section 83-1,106. And since his Colorado sentence completed before he was sentenced, the district court was without power to run those sentences concurrently in any way. To briefly address the other two assignments of error, Leahy complains that the district court erred in receiving Exhibit 51. However, as argued in our brief, because the district court was acting as a sentencing court in calculating time served, the rules of evidence do not apply. There was no error in receiving Exhibit 51.
Are there any limitations that govern the acceptance of materials in the sentencing phase?
I don't have a case on the top of my mind. I know that in other contexts in which the rules of evidence don't apply, this court has said, you know, generally that rules of evidence may act as guidelines in ensuring that the proceedings are fair, something along those lines. But here, the information that was entered is essentially the same information that could have been included in the PSR. There's no error in including this calculation in the sentencing calculation. And Leahy finally argues that his sentence is excessive. However, this was a very serious case. Leahy caused the death of a young man, Austin Wright, and he received a substantial benefit from the plea agreement. His sentences were warranted. For these reasons, the state asks this court to affirm the judgment and sentence of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of the day, then, is...